legislative.
Senate Agriculture and Veterans Budget and Policy Division will come to order. First bill up today is Senate File 3235, Senator Rosen.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Very nice to be here. This committee. Senate File 3235 is an ag propane and anhydrous ammonia terminal capacity study and appropriation bill. Currently, members, the terminal capacity for propane and anhydrous ammonia is operating from a 1940 infrastructure. And even back then, they used railroad, and now they aren't using any cars to deliver that. So the trucks from the surrounding states are brought in to help serve the demand from about a 100-mile radius. And because of the in-service time at the facilities, there's multiple trucks that need to come in. So this has increased the cost of the propane and anhydrous ammonia by almost 40%, which is affecting our crop drying costs and also the home fuel heat situation in many of our small towns, because most of our small towns use propane for their home heating and not natural gas. So Senate File 3235 would require the Commissioner of Ag, along with the Office of Energy Security, to initiate a study in Minnesota and the surrounding 100 miles of the border to look at the total propane and anhydrous ammonia terminal capacity. And the study would estimate the total agricultural demand for the propane and anhydrous ammonia out to 2020 and report back next year with fiscal costs of the liquid with the fiscal cost. And Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment. It's the A1 amendment.
Mr. Chairman. Chair, I'd move the A1 amendment.
Senator Dempsey moves adoption of the A1 amendment. Senator Rosen, do you want to briefly explain that before we go further?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Basically, the A1 amendment, and this was
thank you.
There was an amendment earlier just to talk about the appropriation, and Mr. Knopf put the appropriation and the study language into one bill. So this amendment talks about $50,000 in fiscal year 2011 appropriated from the fertilizer inspection account. And there is some debate on where the dollars should come from, Mr. Chair. And that's why I was sitting here talking in the back. And we're trying to figure out where the money for the study should come from, because the House has got it in a different account, and that account does not come through your jurisdiction. It goes through Senator Anderson's jurisdiction. So that's the debate. And I do think that we could get that figured out. But I do have people here to testify on the bill, Mr. Bill Bond, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers, and Mr. Deputy Commissioner Bill Blon from OES is also here, and the Department of Ag is also here.
Senator Rosen, nice. Mr. Bond's there, so maybe we ought to have him
Absolutely.
Come up and add a few words.
Thank you, Chairman Vickerman, committee members. I'm Bill Bond with the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers. We strongly support the concept of this bill. I think the funding mechanism needs to be worked out, and we'll work with the committee and the author to try and figure that out. The issues of the capacity of the system to deliver anhydrous to the farmer during the time they need it in the fall and in the spring, and also propane, the same fleet of trucks, same drivers are involved in both, and because we have such a limited application season in the fall for these products, and because they're used so extensively during a limited time from, say, mid-October to sometimes mid-December, we really see a crunch. You've heard us talk about, and you've maybe seen efforts over the years on the governor issuing executive order, executive emergency order to exempt drivers from the terminal to the ag dealer from hours of service under certain limitations. That all has to do with the capacity of the system. We were so concerned that last summer, the initiative of our trade association was to try and address this by bringing terminal operators, some of the trucking industry, some of the ag dealers, and some of the associations representing the farmers, producers. And we tried to see if there were any logistical issues within the system we could address. The fact of the matter is, it's exactly as the senator described. This is a 1940s system trying to address modern production ag problems in the fall and in the spring. One of the challenges that industry has is when you get competitors together to talk about supply, you begin to get antitrust issues creeping up, and people are not able to attend and say things. This is a legitimate and, I think, a definite public policy interest. As far as where the money comes from, I think you'll learn that the fertilizer fund is funding the AFRAC, the as you know, the council that we put together to research fertilizer. So I think there may be a challenge in that specific funding, but certainly the policy is good policy from our perspective.
Council.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is not from the money going for AFRAC. This is the regular fertilizer inspection account that the department uses to enforce the fertilizer laws.
Maybe the department would want to address that.
Sure. Welcome. State your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Greg Bezicki. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and I manage the pesticide and fertilizer programs. The concern about Mr. Knopf is correct. The concern about the account is that the money that is in the account, the fees that the legislature passed last year for AFRAC, to support AFRAC, all of those fees go into the account, and those fees will be coming in next July. In the meantime, the account is being used to support the AFRAC program and grants that are going out currently. In addition, the account supports all of our regulatory work. So, Mr. Chair, the bottom line is that the account is at low tide right now. So this is just simply an additional stress on the account. That was the point that I was trying to make with Senator Rosen immediately before. Having said that, the issue is very real. We've been involved in this issue with the industry, and the study is very, very important to understand exactly what's going on and how we can resolve this issue in the future for Minnesota. So I would be happy to work with the committee and Senator Rosen to understand what this implications might be on the account. We certainly will be very willing to participate in this study. My concern is only for how low the account is right now.
Mr. Mueller.
I'm Mr. Chairman and members, and I can certainly work with them too, but I'm looking at the latest Ag Fund statement for the looking at the page for the fertilizer inspection account, and shows a growing fund balance out into fiscal year 2013. A current fund balance of about $800,000 and growing up to almost $1.2 million in 2013. So whether this is accurate or not, I'll certainly chat with them about this. But it shows a growing fund balance.
Mr. Chair, and to that point, I believe those numbers are pretty good. We are projecting that at the end of this fiscal year, we'll be down to $400,000. The program is actually running at about a rate of $1.2 million. But we'd be happy to work with staff.
Senator Rosen, you have another.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I also have Mr. Bruce Clavin here to testify.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Bruce Clavin, I represent Cooperative Network, formerly Minnesota Association of Cooperatives. All I have for you is echo testimony following Mr. Bond. Our folks wanted to go on the record supporting the bill.
Senator Deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as long as we're talking about fertilizer, I thought it might be interesting just to draw your attention to this article that was in the Star Tribune on March 19th of this year. It identifies the top 10 people in the world, in world history, that saved the most people. Now, most of us think if we save one person's life, that's pretty good. We get our name in the paper, and it's a nice story about it. But these are the top 10 men that saved more lives than any other 10 people in history. And the one that's, well, I'll just give you some examples. In ninth place is Gaston Ramon, who developed the diphtheria and tetanus vaccine. He saved 58 million lives. Then Howard Florey is number eight. He developed penicillin and saved 80 million lives. John Enders developed measles vaccine and saved 114 million lives. And then there's two guys that together on the smallpox vaccine for fifth and sixth place. They saved 122 million lives. And the guy that worked out water chlorination for our drinking water, 173 million lives. In third place is Norman Borlaug, 240 million lives for this high-yield wheat. And then you move to the second place guy who developed or figured out how to do blood transfusions. But the guy who's on the top of the list who saved more lives than any other person in history is Fritz Haber, the inventor of synthetic fertilizer, credited with saving 2.7 billion lives. So we're talking about something that's pretty important here, commercial fertilizer.
Mr. Chair, as an old, tired, retired agronomist, that I really like that. And actually, you know, the crop yields are expected in the next year, or next 10 years, I should say, to increase by 40%. So this is an issue we have to address right now. And I think this study is very prudent and timely. Perhaps we can do it cheaper than $50,000, but I think $50,000 is a reasonable amount. And I would like to continue to figure out where the dollars should come from.
Any more discussion on the amendment, the A1 amendment, what we're talking about right now?
Yes, sir.
Any more discussion? I believe, Senator, didn't you? Senator Gizmi moves to adopt the A1 amendment to get the bill in order. You'd like to have it, Senator Rosen? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Now your bill should be in order. Senator Rosen?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're late on the table for
any more discussion on the bill? Senator Hand.
I would move the bill to, are we going to move it to lay on the table or just move it to the, is that the motion? Then I would move that we lay the bill on the table for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
On the Hand Amendment. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted.
Senator Thank Rosen, you, Mr. Thank Chair. You. Nice to be here. Thank you, members.
Oh, Senator Scogin, do you want to walk up there? Senator Scogin's got Senate files 2737, Livestock Investment Grant Program from Eligible Producers Appropriations. Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the chair is correct. Senate file 2737 continues our interest in keeping a placeholder for the Livestock Investment Grant Program. You can see the request of $15 million. We're going to squeeze a couple of dimes together. I'm sure we'll find that before we get out of here. But we realize that the money is not there, and it has been a very successful program. The money that we have put in there has been well received and put to good use out in rural Minnesota as moms and dads try to build up their facilities and their operations to hand them off to the sons and daughters and the in-laws. And we have underfunded it severely in the 2 or 3 years that it's been available, and this provision keeps a placeholder for us as we continue to look for money to keep the Livestock Investment Grant Program viable.
And, Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate File 2737 be recommended to pass and sent to finance, I think.
Any discussion?
No,
this is the bill.
DE amendment.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We have to move the amendment first then, is that right?
Yes. Did you get it?
We got an amendment.
Does he have a copy of the amendment?
Wasn't he with him?
Well, I thought everybody did.
And while we're getting things together, I hope Senator Koch is watching because he's been following this thing for quite a while on the horse details. Mm-hmm. And it's in here. You want to know what's in there about it? Ask her.
One of the omnibus.
Yes, yes.
Oh, not the. We have copies of the original. Guys, I apologize, Mr. Chair. I offer the A1, the delete all. And that will get us to the bill that we're looking at today.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Senator Coring, for your support.
Absolutely, anytime.
Is there fertilizer in this bill?
Mr. Chairman, if you wanted me to, I can walk through Article 1 for you. Section 1, well, both Sections 1 and Section 2 are taken from Senator Stump's bill, 2989, that's passed on general orders the other day. It includes the same language that passed this committee. And then also, there was a little bit over in the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and it includes those changes also. Section 3, the horses you were just talking about, Mr. Chair, and that is from Senator Koch's Senate File 755, as passed by this committee. Section 4 is from Senator Dill's 3021. That was a department bill dealing with pesticide dealer licenses and the expiration fee or the additional fee that's charged when the license is expired. Section 5 is also from Senator Dill's 3021, and that, again, deals with the timing of the license when the license is acquired. Section 6 is again from Senator Dill's 3021, a department bill, and this just expands and clarifies the language on 3.20 to 3.21 that a person must have a license card or be a certified private applicator to buy restricted use pesticides. 3021, excuse me, Section 7 was again from Senate File 3021, Senator Dill, and this adds pesticide dealers, agricultural pesticide dealers, and commercial applicators as needing to file the incident response plans and the storage and handling. It basically adds incident response for all of those categories, including the existing ones. Section 8, this is from, was in Senator Scogin's bill, 3129. This is a modified version. I'll just note a couple of things. The committee had a lengthy discussion about this when it was in front of the committee. What this does is, if you look on 4.6, there was a discussion about whether somebody who was doing this for their neighbor and getting paid for it would have to register and then be subject to penalties if they didn't. What this says is basically if they advertise their services in some manner. That's apparently how the department enforces the current registry provisions, is they look for people who are advertising and then request that they provide the information once they see the advertisement. So this would limit it to those who advertise. They're doing it for hire and advertising. The additional $250 fee is not in here for the professional registration. This is just the regular registration. And you will note that the violation on 4.24 to 4.26 says it's unlawful for a person who is required to be registered under Subdivision 1 to provide tree care or tree trimming services in Minnesota without being registered. So it's only those people. I think the original bill just said anybody who did it for money who wasn't registered would be in violation. So this just clarifies that it's only those people who are required to register. In fact, I think it even said if you cut down your own, if you just trim a tree, you were in violation in the original bill, if I remember right. And then, Mr. Chairman and members, on Section 9 is also from the Dill bill, and it deals with the food handlers. If you look at the language on the top of page 5, allowing them to waive the fee for a facility that sells only prepackaged foods. And then we have the bovine TB zones. This, again, was in Senator Dill's bill. The committee heard this on Sections 10 and 11. Kind of clarify when the federal government changes the names of the zones that these provisions would apply to those zones as the board would apply them. And then if we turn to page 6, Mr. Chair and members, we have the provision, Section 12. That was from Senator Saltzman's bill, Senate File 2941, and it deals with allowing basically cities and town boards to provide money for county extension work. Then this had, again, with Senator Saltzman bill, this committee heard and spent quite a bit of time with. Section 13 was actually in Senator Scogin's bill, 3129. I don't think the committee ever got this far in the bill because the discussion ended with the tree trimming. But what this does is, if you look down on 6.29, it basically says that these bulk firewood sales can be enforced by the department under their regular enforcement authority or DNR under their invasive species enforcement authority. That's the firewood that they're worried about the beetles. So you'll see that in Section 13 and Section 14. Those are both in Senator Scogin's bill. Again, I don't think the committee had a lot of discussion about that because we got bogged down in the tree trimming. Section 15 deals with the alien and non-American corporations being able to acquire wind easement rights on agricultural land. This was from Senator Pretner Solon, Senate File 2971. And the language of interest is on 8.24 to 8.25. And then you also have the report requirement. Section 16, that was an amendment offered in the committee to the bill. There are a couple of issues here I just wanted to mention as we're walking through this. Apparently, there were some people that were concerned that the Senator Pretner Solon bill also had an extension of the current law for wind easements on agricultural land, and it's not in this draft. But it was in the bill. They were just extending the effective date of some deletion of language related to that out from June 1st, 2010 to June 1st, 2011. That's not in this draft. I mean, the committee could adopt, if they wanted to, that provision to add it in here. But I guess there's some anxiety over that not being paired with this, with these changes to the alien farm law. So I just wanted to bring that up to people. Also, I do want to bring up to people that the report requirement that was adopted here the other day, there's also some anxiety over the extent of that, the annual reporting, and the amount of information that they'll have to supply annually, the market value of the land, and that. And I think there's been some action over the House to kind of reduce the reporting requirement. I just wanted to bring that up today. This is the way the committee had amended it the other day, and I just wanted to make sure that you understand that there's some anxiety over the extent of the reporting.
Senator Coyne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Knopf, does this change in the alien farm law, does that mean that people that are not citizens of the United States can own farmland in this state?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Coyne, what they can do is they can, if you look on 8.24 to 8.25, they'd be able to have an easement by an individual or entity for the installation and repair of transmission lines and for wind rights. So they could have an easement for wind rights. They couldn't actually own the underlying fee title to the land, but they could have an easement to get onto the land to repair and also to take care of their wind rights.
Okay. Senator Coobley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Knopf. You know, wasn't the year extension just to, give one more year to the people that had given an easement on their land so that they weren't locked in forever, basically?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator Cooley, basically what the Pretner Solon bill had a provision in that was going to extend the effective date of a change, and I can read what the change would be. It's striking language in current law that says a wind easement to install, that's kind of a strange way of saying it, but to install wind turbines on real property, option or lease of wind rights shall also terminate after 7 years from the date the easement is created or lease is entered into if a wind energy project on the property to which the easement or lease applies does not begin commercial operations within the seven-year period. So basically it was allowing them, if they didn't do it within 7 years, to opt out. And that was in Senator Pretner Solon's bill, but the issue was I don't remember being told that should be in here, but I know that there are some people with some anxiety that they think that should be in this bill also, the extension of that.
Well, Mr. and Mr. Knopf, I guess I would be one of those. I'd be in favor of keeping that in there for another year.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Kluge, I don't have an amendment, but if you wanted to, you could adopt that extension. It's basically, it's about three lines long, and all it says is currently the effective date in that section from 2008 said this section is effective June 1st, 2010, and it extends to 2011. If you trust me on that, you could just move that as an amendment to this without having language in front of you, just to extend that effective date for that change to 2011 and include it in here, and we can take care of that.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, it does seem to me that, you know, there are farmers who are entering into these easement agreements not recognizing that, you know, the people who are purchasing the easement don't really have to do anything if they don't want to. And, you know, whether or not they do anything will have a bearing on whether the farmer gets a future payment for that easement or not in some cases. And so I think we need to include it in this bill for the one-year extension so we can take a closer look at that. And I would move that language, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Kluge, I just sent the page off to make copies of that page from Senator Prettner-Solon's bill so people could see the language if they want. You could move it now or wait until the language comes back, but it's pretty simple. It's just extending an effective date.
Senator Kluge, well, let's hold that until he gets back.
Yeah, I can move it now, but we can wait until it comes back, Mr. Chair. That would be fine.
Yep, keep going.
And then, Mr. Chairman, Section 16 we've talked about. Section 17... This is the corporate farm law, and this was in Senator Dills. This was also created quite a bit of discussion. Senate File 3021, this was a department recommendation dealing with nonprofit corporations. There was a concern over whether it should be 160 acres or 40 acres, and the concern was over people acquiring more land and whether or not, because we do have an existing facility that's close to 160 acres, in the Senator Corning's area. So what this is it's a modified version. If you look on the bottom of page 16, you see this would create a new category under nonprofit. It would say actively farms less than 160 acres that were acquired by the nonprofit corporation prior to January 1, 2010. So that would take care of the existing ones up to 160 acres. And it says, or actively farms less than 40 acres that were acquired by the nonprofit after January 1, 2010, and the nonprofit corporation uses all profits from the agricultural land for educational purposes. So it's similar. The department had brought in 40 acres, but they were talking about amending it to 160 because of some new findings. But this would say that going forward, you could acquire 40 acres. In the future, but if you had 160 acres prior to January 1, you could also continue to farm it. Apparently, these people are doing this right now, and this would make the law basically comply with their current actions.
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I brought this up when I presented the bill, and that was the issue of whether or not it's reasonable to expect a nonprofit corporation to use all profits from the agricultural land for educational purposes. And I was told by the attorney, Mr. Spanier, Department of Ag, that the nonprofits hadn't objected to that language, but it still strikes me as being a requirement that would maybe make them ineligible, because most businesses have to use some profit for something other than education.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, that might not be considered profit then. I mean, these are non-profit. It is kind of an odd term to think of profit from a non-profit. But I think some of the things you mentioned the other day would be considered part of the cost of doing business. And profit would be, it's not revenue, it's just profit. It's just after you pay all your expenses, what's left over.
Well, as long as there's nobody else objecting to this, I'm not going to make an issue over it. But it just to me strikes me as being kind of a. It just strikes me as being a little bit. To expect all profit to be used for educational purposes seems like a very high standard.
Again, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dill, these are nonprofits, so they're not really supposed to make a profit. and so
I think we're ready for
these three lines. Yeah, those three lines,
8.98. Senator Coobley, why don't you put that amendment on here, and then we'll keep going.
All right, Mr. Chair, you know, the S2971-1 piece that we've been handled, I would move lines 8.9 to 8.11 be included in Senate file 2737 as amended.
Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Coobley, I apologize. I was out of the room. Is this dealing with extending or giving some protection to landowners on the wind purchases?
It does, on the easements.
Okay, and are you including the seven-year benchmark that we...
It's being extended for 1 year, Ms. Sharon and Senator Erickson Ropes.
And Senator Coobley, again, I apologize for being out of the room, so... I'm interested in this section as well, making sure that people who have signed agreements with companies now just aren't taken advantage of in perpetuity, and they have a chance to reassess and drop the contract and resign. Is that what you're talking about here?
Ms. Chair and Senator Erickson Ropes, yes, it is. It just extends the effective date for the elimination of that time frame on the easement by 1 year.
Senator Constable, do you have anything to add to that?
No, Mr. Chairman. It would just go in the bill on probably on 9. It would go in on 18.28 after line 18.28 is a new section.
Any further discussion? Senator Coobley moves adoption. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Senate Council.
Mr. Chairman, then sections 18, 19, and 20 are all from Senator Vickerman's Senate File 2465. That's the temporary livestock production lien. This is as it passed out of the Judiciary Committee. There were some clarifying amendments that were adopted in the Judiciary Committee just to make sure that these temporary liens don't get confused with the existing agricultural liens. And so there was just some clarifying language that was adopted in the Judiciary Committee just to tighten it up a little bit. But otherwise, it's basically as this committee saw it when we heard the bill. Section 21, in the governor's budget, there were some extensions for the fertilizer research grants. They had the language all printed out. It would have been about six pages, maybe eight. What this does is try to do it in a just by cross-referencing those provisions. And basically, the fertilizer research grants from 2007 are available, as long as they're encumbered by June 30, 2009, they're available until June 30, 2011. And also then on page 19 at the top, the 2010 appropriations are extended till 2013, and the 2011 till 2014, as long as they're encumbered by the end of the biennium. One goes beyond the end of the biennium, the 2011 encumbrance. So that was part of the governor's bill. It's a little bit different. We'll need to get some clarity, too, from the department if this is exactly what they were thinking. They just extended the availability of the appropriation. But this is how we usually do a lot of these, is as long as they're encumbered by when they're supposed to be encumbered, then we allow them to carry it further. Because many times the grants have not been able to, they haven't been able to actually put the money out, even though they do have somebody with that they've encumbered the money for. Section 22. This was a request by the Minnesota Milk Producers Association to have the commissioner work with milk producers and other industry stakeholders, along with representatives from the University of Minnesota and MinSCU, to consider the elements of dairy. We did hear a proposal, I think, in front of the committee. A week or two ago about some type of a dairy research and education facility. And so this would just tell the commissioner to keep working with these groups and to come back with a report and plan for that. And then the repealer, this was in Senator Dill's 3021, and that you can see if you go to the back of the amendment, there's an appendix, and it's the native grasses and wildflower seed production incentive loan program. Apparently that program has never been functional, never had any money, and that was what the department testified to in front of committee in Senator Dill's bill. That was a department request to repeal that. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the end of Article 1.
Any discussion? Senator Phoebe.
Mr. Chair and members, and I apologize if I should have done this earlier, but I'd like to move the A3 amendment.
Do you want to, Mr. Chairman, do you want to amend each article as we're going through it? Good idea.
Let's get Article 1
okay.
All set, and then we'll go into the veterans as Article 2. Senator Scogin, is that okay?
That's fine, Mr. Chair. I've got an amendment as well, so, and there may be others.
Okay. Who wants to be first? Senator Phoebe?
Mr. Chair, this is simply the extension date for the Green Acres, withdrawing from the Green Acres program without penalty from May 1st, 2010 till August 16th, 2010. And just would like that to be considered to be included in this bill.
Any discussion? Senator Erickson-Robes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Phoebe, thank you for bringing this bill. I just had a huge town hall meeting in my district last night of about 160 rural landowners and farmers, and I want to thank Mr. Tom Peterson was also made the trip down, as well as the representative from Minnesota Farm Bureau and Department of Revenue folks came down, and assessors were there. This is one thing that people are very concerned about. Needing to make that decision to roll over into the Rural Preserve Program and make hasty decisions by May when they don't understand exactly what it's going to mean for them. There's a lot of miscommunication and uncertainty about how things are going to roll out and what details are across the state. So I appreciate the deadline opportunity. And Senator Phoebe, I know you've been working with many other stakeholders on this. Have you talked about pushing it out further than that? Because actually, a lot of the folks in my meeting last night would really like to even see it pushed out a year. So can you talk about why it's just going 4 months and not longer?
Mr. Chair and Senator Erickson-Ropes, yes, there was much discussion. This date was decided on and determined by the Department of Revenue, along with the Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, assessors around the table. The biggest thing was deadlines and not knowing how this is going to impact budgets, not knowing the unknowns of this, but also feeling that the longer we push it out, the more people will push it out to make that determination with their property, and allowing them, especially, as you've said, I had 4 town hall meetings that numbered anywhere from 100 to 400, and May 1st is right around the corner, and the assessor's office are still not sure of all the details of the Rural Land Preserve Program and things like that. So not just landowners, individuals, but it was an agreed-upon date with the department. They weren't willing to push it out further than that, feeling like people might just, you know, when you set a deadline, I'm a procrastinator, just we need to take this and move with it. So they felt that the August 16th date was in between what others were asking for.
Mr. Chair, Senator Phoebe, thank you very much for that. I have a tendency not to try to interrupt processes where you have had all the stakeholders in agreement. But I do just want to say for the record, I really wish it would be more like a year. And people do push off their decisions the more time they have, I agree. But it seems to me that there's a lot of confusion in the industry about what exactly all of this means. So I know my folks would really appreciate a year. And I forgot my other question.
Just with that, Mr. Chair and Senator Erickson-Ropes, I, too, would have liked to see it a little longer. I want to be successful in an area this year for our ag owners. And I know you and I have had a number of discussions, as with other people whose this agriculture and Green Acres issue has greatly affected our farmers, and I would like to be able to move something, so working with all the stakeholders, that was the date we agreed upon. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Oh.
Senator Robes?
Mr. Chair, I just remembered my other question, and maybe this is for council or someone in general, but it, you know, we're currently in session, and it's a possibility that we might not be done by May 1st, which is the date in law right now. If the committee's, it looks like it's traveling through to extend it to May 16th, passes
August
through,
16th.
Or August, I'm sorry, thank you, August, but we're not done with session yet. How does that affect our landowners?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Erickson Ropes, if you look at the effective date, even if this were to pass after May 1st, this section is effective for withdrawals after April 30th, 2010. So I think even if this didn't pass in time, that effective date would still apply to any withdrawals that are after that date.
Okay.
I assume Ms. Zoff or somebody did the effective date on it, and she did a great job. I think it works.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, Mr. Chair, just want to explain, this provision did, Senator Phoebe's got an individual bill, I think it's on the floor of the Senate, that's gone through the tax committee already on this. This is just providing another home for that
okay.
same provision.
Yes. Another vehicle. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Senator Phoebe renewed moves the A3 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Adopted, I believe there's Senator Corey.
I just have a question for Mr. Knopf on section 4. Is there that's not a fee? Is that what the fee is, or is it the increase? I guess I
4. Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Corey, that's
state.
That's basically. If the license expires, it's the additional fee. It would be an increase. I mean, it's 50% of the $150, so it'd be like 75 rather than 20. And then if the fee gets changed down the road, this would just apply to whatever the fee is. But it's only for those who don't get their renewal in time for the expired license.
So it could be, Mr. Chairman. So it could be considered a fee increase.
Well. For the penalty, it's more like a penalty increase, Mr. Chairman, Senator Corney.
Any other? I believe.
Mr. Chair, I move the A2 amendment.
That'll be passed. I haven't got that passed out, Senator, yet.
The A2, members, is an amendment that would encourage permit applications to be either issued or denied within 150 days. Also sets up some reports on the permitting efficiencies that are being achieved, and also allows for electronic submission of some of those reviews and permit documents by the department.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So adopted A2 amendment. Senator Dale.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A4 amendment. And I have a handout here to be passed out as well.
Thank you. Senator Dale, why don't you explain your amendment?
Mr. Chairman, this amendment deals with a section of law that I went through some years ago to try to clean it up. And part of what I was aiming at passed, and part of it did not. And I'm going back to pick up on the part that didn't make it, or at least one part that didn't make it. I'm not sure why it didn't make it, but it somehow fell through the cracks when we were dealing with some years back. The amendment, if you look at my handout, it repeals the section that deals with clipped animals penalty. And it says, no person who has custody of any animal which has had its hair removed by clipping or shearing shall cause or permit the animal to stand on a road, street, or other unsheltered place between November 1st and May 1st within 60 days after clipping or shearing unless the animal is blanketed. Violation of this section is a misdemeanor. Now, the reason I wanted to repeal that is because almost all sheep are sheared before they lamb, and most of them lamb in February, March, and April.
That's when it was last amended.
And so the way I read this is that those sheep producers that let their animals outside within 60 days of shearing before May 1st have got to put a blanket on them, and this is just totally unreasonable. So I want to repeal this. Now, when I was working on this before, I was trying to also repeal the part on docking horses, which I didn't succeed at. So that's still part of state law. And the section just above that says that it used to say that you couldn't transport an animal with his legs tied together. But there's quite a few times you may want to transport an animal for short distances in the back of a pickup truck or something, and it's necessary to hogtie them so they can be safely transported a short distance. And we got that changed. We also revised the state doghouse law, and that was successfully accomplished. But somehow this section here on clipped animals, that slipped through the cracks, and I'd like to repeal it at this time.
Discussion, Senator Kubley?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dale, or maybe Mr. Knopf, what does Section 17.231 deal with?
Mr. Chairman, the amendment was done in kind of it was easier to do this way. That's already in the bill. That's the one we talked about before. That's the native, if you look, that's actually in the, if you look on the back of your amendment, you can see that that's the native grasses and wildflower. It's just easier to do a whole new repealer rather than just to add, because you've got to change a bunch of words that are intermingled. And it was easier to do this way.
I see that now, Mr. Chair and Mr. Knopf. Thank you.
Senator Hayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Dill, does this have any effect? Is there an industry of producing sheep blankets that would be affected by this law?
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, I have an example here of where an animal may need to be transported by a pickup truck with his legs tied together. And this is a picture of myself on a horse with a 150-pound ewe in the saddle. And she'd been under a dog attack, and when I found her a half mile from the farm, she could not walk. It was in the dead of night. I was out there in the back of a horse with a double-barrel shotgun looking for dogs. And I shot at the dogs and scared them off, but this ewe could not walk, so I put her on the horse and transported her home. Now, I didn't have her legs tied together, but if I went out there with a pickup truck, in order to transport her safely, I'd have to transport her with her legs tied together, and that was in violation of state law, which I got fixed a few years ago, so it's now illegal to at least do that. And on this issue down here, it's just I'm just trying to keep the sheep producers of the state of Minnesota from breaking the law.
Mr. Chair, how old were you when this picture was?
Well, it was when I was young enough, so I could pick a 150-pound ewe up and put her on the saddle.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dill, is this going to be included in your memoirs?
Any further discussion? Senator Dill moves the adoption of the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted. Any other amendments for that part?
Well, Mr. Chairman, there are not. I just wanted to bring the Senator Scogar's attention. I, when I went through the reporting requirement under the Alien Farm Law that's in here, I mentioned that there is some consternation about the reporting. Now, the House has some different language. You may want to just carry this through to conference and deal with what the proper reporting is, but I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that there is some consternation over the extent of the reports and the annual reporting that's required under the wind easement provision.
And Mr. Knopf, did I hear you earlier say the House had kind of softened that language?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin, yes.
Okay.
Anything else? Oh, welcome. That's your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John Appitz with the law firm of Messerly and Kramer on behalf of Farm Credit Services. We worked with you all on this ag input lien matter, the temporary livestock ag input lien earlier this year. And I noted just a couple of things that I want to bring to council's attention, perhaps just they're clarifiers. We tried to get this done in judiciary, and I know that was a pleasant trip for you, Mr. Chairman, to judiciary, but we didn't quite get it done. So if I could just reference these and maybe make these minor clarifications. We're dealing with page 17. So it is page 17, line 26. And counsel might just reference this. Throughout this section, we're talking about a temporary livestock production input lien as distinguished from a livestock production input lien. And I think we should just state the term temporary in just three places. On line 1726, after chapter 583, has A, you would insert temporary livestock production input lien. Then on line 20, on page 17, line 27, at the end there, that new sentence, a perfected, you would put in temporary livestock production input lien. And then finally on 1731, again, where we talk about a livestock production input lien, you'd insert a temporary livestock production input lien becomes effective when they're supplied. And I think those are the only things I saw, but I just wanted to reference those and thought they might just clarify this.
Mr. Knopf, any?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess Mr. Appitz likes to have the belt and suspenders and make sure. So I don't see a problem with inserting that term in each location to clarify that we're only talking about this one. It is under this subdivision, but whatever.
Right. Yeah. I would make that oral amendment.
Discussion on Senator Scogin's oral amendment to make temporary. Did I hear it right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Everybody understand it? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Any more to do with the ag part? And we'll move into Article 2 that's veterans.
So, Mr. Chairman, Article 2 begins on page 19. Most of what you see in Article 2 is taken from Senate File 2372, Senator Erickson Rope's County Veterans Service Officers Bill that was the product of the working group and has passed the Senate. The first section there, section 1, just clarifies the duties for the county board, basically rearranging some of the language there. Section 2 on page 20 clarifies that these requirements not only apply now to veterans, county veteran service officers, but also their assistants who are hired after the section is enacted. And Section 3 on the bottom of page 20 clarifies the role of the Department of Veterans Affairs in assisting these offices. And on page 21, Section 4 again is clarifying responsibilities, primary responsibilities of the counties. And basically the same for Sections 5 and 6. Then taking you to page 22, Section 7 there is from Senator Bonhoff's bill, Senate File 2311. This is the way it was amended on general orders, and what this clarifies is it's not as open-ended as it was when the committee heard it. The definition of deceased veteran triggers the benefits that are provided to the surviving spouse and children, which is basically free tuition at a Minnesota public educational institution. And here, Clause 2 adds the new language that says the deceased veteran would qualify if they were a Minnesota resident for the 6 months preceding the date of death. And it also includes the stepchild language on page 22, line 14. Then on page 23, section 8 that you see there is also from Senator Erickson Robe's bill. The repealers on page 23, paragraph A is Senator Ingebretson's bill, Senate File 3026. That's the disabled American veteran license plates that are duplicative. And paragraph B is from Senator Kubley's bill. I think that's Senate File 3103. That's the Veterans Home Construction Project priority listing requirement. And then the effective dates in Section 10 are from the County Veterans Service Office's bill. And that's it for Article 2.
Any more on the veterans part? For Groves, don't you have?
No, after this bill.
Okay. I'll just tell you a little. Something happened to me way back when I was first here. I carried a bill, felt pretty good, nervous going on the Senate floor. And those of you who served as Senator G. Merriam, you'll know what I'm talking about. He read the bill. He knew every A and dot in the bill. So they come to this repealer. He rattled them off and says, Senator Vickerman, what is that repeal? And I sat there like a dumb cluck. I had no idea what he was talking about. He knew it all the time. He just kind of set me up. So when I see these repealers, I hope somebody knows what we're talking about.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I did have the appendix. Sometimes in the amendments, we don't automatically print the appendix. They do that on bills now. I think that might have been former Senator Merriam's initiative to make sure that the appendix was printed that you could show the repealers. So now on most bills, you can actually just turn it over at the end and it'll show what they are. So it can bail you out.
Okay. Are we anything more on the Article 2 of the Veterans Party? If not, Senator Scogin, do you want to move to adoption of that?
I did.
Mr. Chair, I move that Senate File 2737 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Finance. Move the A1 amendment.
Finance.
Senator Scogin, it goes to finance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Adopt the A1 amendment.
You have to adopt the amendment first.
Yes. Oh, we got to adopt the amendment first. Yeah. The amendment, and then it goes there. So right now we'll be.
We're still on the discussion of the amendment.
Yeah.
I would move the A1.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted.
Then, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate File 2737 as amended be recommended pass sent to finance.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. Now, Senator Ropes, you have a...
Yes. Mr. Chair, I believe I have a bill on the table or laid over that I'd like to have the committee take a look at.
Let's go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Senate File 2682. We had laid on the table. We had some questions. Mr. Puglisi wasn't able to attend the day I presented the bill to the committee, and you had some questions for him. In the meantime, I've had a chance to talk with Senator Langseth. There were some concerns about this, whether this bill really needed to go through bonding or to full finance. And so I've worked out, Senator Langseth's recommendation on language, and we have created an amendment here. I've also talked to Senator Lori, who supports the bill. There were some questions about that as well. I see he's not here again today, but he has stated his support for my bill. So basically, my bill deals with a project going on in Fillmore County where we've been working for about a year on siting a new veteran cemetery down there. We add Fillmore County to the current language, and then we also change the funding mechanism a little bit. That
Senator Erickson Robes, we have the amendment. I think maybe we should get that adopted so we're on the right same page here.
Okay. I move the A3 amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, I would remind
the committee members that if we don't designate what happens when the federal money comes back, it goes into the general fund, which is a very, very bad idea because it puts it in the general fund. We spend the money, and then we spend the next 20 years paying it back. Now, what we've done in some cases with the veterans' homes and so on is that we will say it goes back into the asset preservation. But what this one would do is just make a revolving fund out of that $1.5 million that's it was passed, I guess it was a year ago. And when it comes back from the federal government, then it goes back into this fund. So we will have kind of revolving funds. So the money will always be there. And I just thought that was the best way to handle it.
Mr. Puglisi, do you have any more to answer?
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Mike Puglisi, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You know what, Senator Langseth, I appreciate that. I think that makes a lot of sense. We're looking to, you know, develop several cemeteries throughout the state, and I think this will help us accomplish that without having to come back to the committee for money. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Mr. Chairman. This doesn't put one cemetery ahead of the other cemetery. This just adds if they want to.
Mr. Chair, members, what we're going to do as a department is, as they're ready to move, we're going to move on them. You know, the governor came out with an initiative last year for a northeast cemetery. So that, of course, was one of our priorities. But we're not ready to develop anything yet there. We haven't identified land yet. So as we find land that we can either purchase or is given to us, we're going to move with those projects that are ready to go.
Mr. Chairman,
any discussion, Senator Coring?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Langseth. So, when, like for example, asset preservation on some of these veterans' facilities, when the state puts up so much money, we get a reimbursement from the federal government. Normally, that goes in a general fund, and you're saying that this would go into a special fund, right?
Mr. Chair, when it comes to reimbursements from the federal government, without designating it, it goes into the general fund. And so if we didn't designate this, it would go into the general fund, that $500,000. And it's, you know, just a bad idea for several different reasons. But I think in this case, it's just a good idea to have it as a revolving fund so that the money will always be there. And once, as I understand it, once it's established, the federal government pretty much takes it over, and it's a federal responsibility for the finances.
And then, Mr. Chairman, another question, and I don't know who this would be for, but who would have say-so over that revolving fund? Would it be the department that would use that for land acquisition, or who has authority over that revolving fund?
Mr. Chair and members, as the language currently reads, it would be the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Any more discussion? Senator Rhodes, let's move the adoption of the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I believe it would be forward to full finance.
Senator Rhodes moves the adoption of the A3 amendment to get the bill in order the way she wants it. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted.
Now, Mr. Chair, I move Senate File 2682 as amended to full finance.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, I believe we left Senator Rosen's bill on the table, and we had intended to include it in the omnibus bill. And so I just look for some direction in opening that bill up again to include that somehow.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin, I think you want to move to reconsider the vote on Senate File 2737.
Mr. Chair, I move to reconsider the vote on Senate File 2737.
and adopt the rules and
wait, you got it.
First, you have to take the first motion.
Okay. Just take this motion now.
You make that motion, Senator?
Yes. Mr. Chair.
All those understand it, moves to reconsider Senate File 2737. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted. Now what's the
next? Now, Mr. Chairman, Senator Scogin would move that SCS 3235A-1 be adopted in Article 1 of the SCS 27378-1 amendment.
So moved.
It's on the Senator Scogin's motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted.
And then recommended to pass again, yes. Mr. Knopf? No, Mr. Chair, I would recommend that Senate File 2737, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Just where I belong here. Did we adopt the Rosen? We did that. Okay. All right, because that wouldn't be fair not to do that.
Right.
Okay. And this will be.
You want to adopt 2737 as amended.
Okay. Now we move to adopt it, 2737 as amended.
Recommended to pass to full finance. Recommended to pass to full finance.
Yep. It'll cast to go to finance. Everybody understand the motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? So adopted. We're adjourned, and this is the last time that I'll be before this committee. So, been a privilege. Been fun.